Welcome to After the Credits, episode, I don't know, probably like 190. I think it actually is 190, if I'm not mistaken. Either way, it is the, I always fuck this up, the May Media Spew?
Yes.
It's May, right?
Okay.
Littlest Hobo Media Spew for May.
All right.
Because it's always like the month before, right? That's why I always have to think about it. I am your co-host, Marina Antunes of Row3.com and QuietEarth.us, joined by, today by fellow co-host.
I'm Colleen. That's it.
Formerly of a dead dot horse?
Yeah, I still own it. My email is still flogging at a dead dot horse. But yeah, I haven't done any reviews since I started plumbing.
Plumber to be.
Damn work.
I know, right?
I'm Dale with Over 40 in Vancouver.
Woohoo!
And Each for All, the cooperative connection on CFRO, Vancouver's co-op radio, FM 100.5.
I'm not quite sure why we're doing this. Apparently we're starting a thing. I just look over there and do whatever Colleen is doing.
I've never done the full media check before, so I thought I would bore people.
No, you have done. We've done it.
That full, not.
You've bored people before.
Oh, I've done that before.
Ba-dum-bum.
Of course I have. That's why I'm here, to make you two look great.
Oh, no. So not true. So not true. So, yes, we are back to talk about stuff that we've been up to in the last couple of weeks.
Too much TV.
Yeah, well, a lot of stuff is like kind of done for the season. So
a lot of wrapping up. Like, it's getting much quieter.
Very much so. Do we want to start with TV?
Sure.
What have you guys been watching, man?
Let's start with your recommendation from last month, which I watched.
From last month?
The Night Manager.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which was really awesome
on AMC.
I didn't realize it was. I'm not going to say his name right. John Le Carré.
Yep.
Based on his novel.
Yep.
So it's more of a miniseries, I think, than...
Correct.
But yeah, no, it was really, really tight, really good, well-acted, a great action story. And I didn't actually notice Carré's credit until, I think it was the second to the last episode.
Oh, really?
And I was like, because I don't normally watch the credits. Like, I fast forward through. And I was just like, oh, that's why the story has like that sensibility.
Yeah.
Like, it really has a sensibility that's different from a lot of the other contemporary kind of spy drama. I'm not sure.
Yep.
Kind of war stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they updated the story, obviously, for a modern audience. Now, Suzanne, I heard Suzanne Beer talk on, I think it was The Frame. It was a very short episode, a very short interview, but she was talking about the production team behind the series. And they are, I think one of them is Le Carré's son, who I guess has taken on the role of sort of being the keeper of the Le Carré properties.
Yeah.
So yeah, they did update this for obviously a modern audience, taking in the current political climate. And I think it plays really, really well. They made some bold choices and it totally paid off. Mind you, when you have a cast like that,
yeah,
it takes a lot to veer you off course, man. I mean, that cast is pretty stacked.
I mean, it can be done, but yeah. You can. I mean, the script here was great. So the cast just gave this great performance. But yeah, definitely when you have a cast like that, you can have a mediocre script.
Yeah.
And still have it be entertaining.
And I mean, Beer is just awesome. She has a great eye. She's super talented. And she brings, I think the thing that I like the most about her movies is there's like, it's hard to put my finger on it, but there's like an emotional core to the stories that doesn't get lost amongst like the political intrigue.
Yeah.
Which I really, really appreciate.
Well, I really liked, After this, I became a fan of Olivia Colman.
Oh, who's amazing.
Who was also in Broadchurch. I first saw her in Broadchurch.
I haven't seen.
There was another British series that she did a small role in, and then in this, and I'm just like, this woman's got chops.
Yep. She's pretty awesome.
And I mean, just hung in there awesome with Tom Hiddleston.
Yep. It was great.
I think the thing that really made me excited about the series was like they landed the ending. Yeah. That ending was amazing. So many of these shows have great suspense and action through the middle, and then they have this kind of lukewarm ending. This was a great ending.
I heard somebody say it, and I take no credit for this, and I'm not sure, I might have even read it on IMDb in some comment section, but somebody had said that even like mediocre British television is better than almost anything on American TV. And I'm kind of getting that feeling, because I mean, even sort of middling British television, it tends to be much better than anything you're going to get on cable.
Sure.
So when it's done really, really well, it's just like, it was like one of my favorite things I've seen this year. It's really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good all around. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. That's awesome. You haven't seen it yet. You will. It'll end up on Netflix.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. You'll want to. Definitely. Yeah,
you'll want to put that on your watch list. That's pretty great.
All right.
What else have you been up to?
I'm most of the same stuff that we talked about last month. Like you said, like a whole bunch of them have wrapped up. And for the most part, I'm liking most of the endings for like Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The one, did you see the finale for Castle?
Like, did I see the finale for Castle?
I was sitting there going, what the fuck?
Terrible.
My God. And then I had to, yeah, I
so bad.
I was gobsmacked. Like, really?
They fucked it up so bad.
What just happened?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like you have a kind of gutsy ending, and then you go and fuck the whole thing up with like this crazy stupid add-on, which doesn't even make any sense. I was just like, nah, I'm done.
They should give them a mulligan. I mean, seriously, that ending was so bad. That, I mean, yeah, I know that the world is starting to have problems with Captain Tight Pants.
Yeah.
He seems like he's maybe not the nicest guy in the world, but I still like that. That property and that cast deserve a better ending.
Agreed.
Than they got.
Agreed. Especially after the seasons that they were on for like 9-10 seasons. I don't even know.
I think it was eight.
Eight. A long time.
Yeah. No, like, it was a good run. It was a good respectable run. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, the fact they fucked it up so bad is just beyond me. It's so bad.
Yeah.
That was like both a good and a bad night for TV, because Castle landed terribly, and then Mike and Molly's final two episodes aired, and they were actually pretty good. They were the best two episodes they've had in maybe 2 years.
Oh.
So it was bad followed by good, so at least the night ended okay.
And the other one that I wanted to mention was Preacher, the pilot is on.
Okay, I didn't fucking understand what the hell was going on.
Oh, really? Maybe because I read the comic. But
I read the first comic.
Oh, yeah?
I still didn't really understand what the hell was going on screen. Like, I know the basic story.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love Dominic Cooper, but that thing was a fucking mess. Like, it was
really?
Yeah.
I
it was pretty. I was really shocked at how bad it was.
I liked it.
I don't know. I think they're going to really need to like step up their game if that show is going to keep going.
It
was really a messy first episode.
They really should have done, because I mean, they clearly ended that first episode when everything was about to start.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm thinking they maybe should have done like the first two episodes released together or something.
Maybe
would have made more sense.
I actually like the fact that it doesn't answer all the questions. Like, it puts out all these ideas, and you kind of have to muddle your way through to find the answers. And some of them are way more obvious than others. Like the fact that the one guy is a vampire, they don't actually tell you he's a vampire, and I kind of like that.
And you figure it out fairly quickly.
Yeah, you figure it out pretty quickly. But that's really cool, and those are probably the best scenes. I was just disappointed that Dominic Cooper just looks so flat on screen. Like, I was really bored.
Really?
Like, yeah, 15 minutes in, I'm like, really? This is all we get?
Were we watching Dan, the same show?
Oh, yeah. Dan was just not impressed. Huh. I swear it'll probably get better. Maybe?
I was kind of okay with, I mean, and Ruth Negga was great.
Yeah. I mean, she's fabulous. She's the best thing for me out of that episode was her and the guy that plays the vampire, who I've seen in a bunch of shit.
Yeah, Misfits and...
Yeah. He was in Lockup.
Let me,
Lockout.
He plays like jerks really well.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
But he was like, he really had that lovable thing going too. Yeah. Like,
which is what he's really good for. But I don't know. I just thought the first episode was a mess. And I'm like, really? People are excited about this? Like, if I didn't know any better, I would be concerned that the show wasn't going to last.
It still might not.
I don't know.
Oh, Joseph Gilgun. Okay. I don't think I knew his name.
No, I certainly didn't know his name. He's recognized.
I'd remember Gilligan.
Yeah, no, not Gilligan.
Gilgun. I don't know. I mean, I hope it gets better. I'll certainly give it another go. Because like I said, I really love the cast. And there was enough in the first episode. Yeah, of, oh, this has promise. But
first shows.
It was messy.
Yeah. Like I like giving things at least three shows
Oh, yeah. Totally. But no, I thought it was a total mess.
Well, that's very.
Yeah. It was a total mess. It's
very interesting
mess.
And disconcerting.
Yeah. No, it was a mess. It was a mess. It was a mess, I thought. What else you got?
I don't think there's anything else that. Yeah, I mean, it's like you say, a whole bunch wrapped up. Limitless was kind of a fun ending. Is it done?
Or are they coming back for another season?
Oh, I didn't. I assume that they were, but I don't actually know that for a fact.
And they may have not announced anything.
If they are not coming back, I thought they wrapped it up pretty nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried about it at the beginning because they seemed to be balancing the serious kind of can get hurt. Dramatic with the comic.
Okay.
Kind of get hurt dramatic. And they didn't get it perfect, but they got it well enough that I was entertained for the whole thing. So
I'm glad that the show actually managed to stay on track because I wasn't quite sure about that one. And I really did like the premise and I like the first film. So it's good to hear that it did okay. Can we talk about that 100 now?
Sorry, I'm going to write this down.
My God.
Did I not tell you? Did I not
fucking
tell you?
Fucking awesome.
It is batshit crazy.
And I wasn't sure. Okay, so spoiler alert, because I got like reamed out by Bill the other day, because we were talking like serious spoiler territory for the 100, and I forgot to call it in advance. So yes, spoiler alert, if you're not caught up with the season finale of the 100, pause for a little while. I didn't think they were going to pull that ending off because, like, with two episodes to go, I'm like, how the fuck are they going to wrap this up? They've written themselves into a corner and then they go and do it.
I know.
What the fuck?
I'm telling you, as soon as they cracked open the chest, I was 100% sold.
That's so freaking awesome.
Yeah, physical manipulation of a heart to keep it pumping. Yeah.
Oh my God. Bring it. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was seriously awesome. I was so excited. I'm kind of sad that it's gone for a little while.
I know.
It's like, how long do we have to wait before it comes back?
It's so terrible, yet so compelling.
I'm seriously considering buying the Blu-rays because I'm hoping that there's like extras. Like,
oh, shit.
Like behind the scenes making ofs because I need more material.
I'd watch every Easter egg on that damn thing.
See? Ditto. And it's all your fault.
I'm telling you, man. It came out of nowhere.
All your fault.
I might actually have to start watching.
Oh, dude, need to watch this show.
Do you have Netflix?
You have no
first
excuse.
Two seasons, first three seasons? Well, two seasons are on for sure.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, were they updating with live episodes for
this
season?
Right. So all you can catch up to the entire series right now.
Yeah. So the final episode of season three aired like 2 weeks ago.
I apparently have a hole in my schedule since Limitless was canceled.
Oh, okay. You have no excuse now. The 100 is your next must-watch show.
Really?
Dude, we're both like bandwagoning here. Like wow. She was on the bandwagon long before I was.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Really
good. I mean, I actually did watch the first 2 hours. I was just, well, 2.5. And
It
drove me crazy, and I had to stop watching.
It is terrible. Like, I've said this all along. I truly think it's terrible, yet it is continuously one-upping itself on just the batshit craziness of this damn show.
It is pretty batshit crazy, but I disagree with Colleen on that part because I think the show is actually solid.
Well, when I say it's terrible, it goes against every sort of teenage angst kind of thing that I normally would hate and like drama.
But it works because it's so good.
Yeah, children hunting children.
Among other things.
Among other things. Among other things. Yeah.
It's solid. So yeah, season finale of the 100 was satisfying to say the least.
As you can tell by my peaked voice. Yes. I get very worked up about that.
So what else are you watching?
I checked out a Netflix new show called Lady Dynamite. I forget the comedian's name, Mira something or other. My friend Chris Woods is also going on about this. It's a female comedian that has battled mental illness kind of thing. She's bipolar and things like that, and it comes out very well in her comedy. And yeah, it's just about her day-to-day sort of existence in this world, and she's sort of a pseudo-celebrity and dealing in Hollywood and just losing her mind. And you get weird, like, guest sort of pop-ins, like Patton Oswalt will be in there.
Nice. And, yeah. So is it a sketch show or is it an actual show?
It is a actual show. It's okay. About her life and dealings. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Lady Dynamite. I might have to check this out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And one great big screw you. I didn't have great hopes for Houdini and Doyle, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I love Murdoch Mysteries. Yeah. I love Fran Fisher Mysteries. Like, it just... I knew it wasn't going to be good, but I had to give it a shot.
And the trailer was pretty bad.
So unbearably bad. Ooh. It, like... If this gets picked up, I worry for the humanity. Health of humanity, because good God, it's terrible.
Yeah, the trailers did not look good.
Oh, there was nothing good I could say about it. No, no, that's wrong. The policewoman's uniform was fucking stellar. Oh my God, it kicks ass.
Okay, that's
if
funny.
I could pull off that uniform, I would wear it all the time.
The police force.
But other than that, yeah. No.
Oh, dear. The Path wrapped up season one. They haven't announced season two is going getting the go-ahead, but I really hope it does, because it was a bombshell finish. It was really solid. So that show, high ratings for me. Aaron Paul is really good on TV. He should just stick to television, because he's shitty in movies. He has not been in a good movie yet, but he's really good on TV. So he should maybe just stick to television. So, yeah. Season finale of The Path was awesome. Penny Dreadful is back, season three. Interesting so far. We're about halfway through the season. They've introduced a new character, as they were bound to do. And all the characters are sort of out doing their own thing, so it's been kind of interesting. I don't know. I like the show. It's just kind of awesome, so recommended. The Fear of the Walking Dead... wrapped the second half of season two, the first half of season two. So they're on break now for until like September or some bullshit. I still really like that show. I like it better than The Walking Dead, so.
I haven't watched any of the season, but I've PVR'd it all. So probably now that they're on break, it's a good time to binge it.
Yeah, to catch up. I mean, I think there were only 8 or 9 episodes in the first half.
Yeah.
Most of them are on a boat. Apparently there's a theme.
I'm on a boat.
Yeah. I don't know. I find the character dynamics have been really interesting. There are some concerns about some of the writing is a little sloppy, especially with two of the characters. They just seem to have like dropped the ball on those two. I don't know. There's just some weird story things going on that they really need to fix for the second half of the season. But generally speaking, it's still really, really awesome.
Cool.
And Wayward Pines is back. Are you guys watching?
You know what? I started watching the first season, yeah. And it was one of those things where all of a sudden it would disappear, and then I'd never get to it again kind of thing. It filmed in Mali, so wanted to watch it all.
We found the neighborhood.
Nice.
Dan went out bike riding towards the gun range.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think I found the Wayward Pines neighborhood. I'm like, really? So we found like a photo of them filming, and we drove around the neighborhood. I'm like, oh my God, we found it. It was pretty exciting.
Excellent.
Yeah. But I don't know. That show is just really weird.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe they got a season two out of it. So sure, I'll go with the strangeness.
Yeah.
The only new thing that I watched is a British miniseries coming to BBC America in June called 13. It's about a young woman who is kidnapped at the age of 13, and she's kidnapped for 13 years. And then one day she just she escapes. And it's the aftermath of her being home after being gone for 13 years.
So is this like a serious version of Kimmy Schmidt?
Pretty much.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'll watch it.
It's really good. And great performances. Only 5-part miniseries. Created by a woman. Directed by 2 women. Solid.
Nice.
Solid. It's called 13. That's all I got for TV. Which is cool. Plenty.
Man, just call me Mr. Mainstream here with my tastes.
Hey, man.
Not Preacher, entirely, but...
I was going to say, Preacher is not exactly mainstream.
Oh, well, okay, so I'm redeeming myself a little bit.
I pretty much mostly watch Netflix because it's in my room.
It works. Apparently,
I have to be social if I have
to apparently leave my room. Our Netflix fees are going up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, to $10. Breaking the bank, man.
I may have to rethink
breaking
this.
Breaking the bank. Whatever.
I was starting to catch up on Daredevil, but I have a friend that's like, no, we're going to watch that together.
Oh,
okay, no. You better catch up to me really quick.
No shit. I was going to say, any friend that tells you not to watch Netflix is not a good friend. Daredevil is not a good friend.
Like, wow, Elektra's sure batshit freaking crazy.
She's awesome.
Wow.
She is so
if I
awesome.
Didn't have
that's
to work,
how far
it
I
would
got.
Have been seen in one sitting.
That's
no
how,
shit, right?
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, that show is fucking badass. Fucking badass.
Damn right.
Yep. What have you guys been watching as far as movies, if any?
Captain America Winter Soldier.
What'd you think?
I'm slowly catching.
I caught a couple mainstreams kind of in the first couple weeks. Amazing. Yeah, I know, right?
Like, okay, good, so I'm not alone.
No, it was one of those movies where a one-time watch. Like, I enjoyed it.
It is what it is.
I enjoyed it on the first watch. I was kind of like, felt a little bit long.
Yep.
They could have really cut out a couple of the characters. Yep. I would have been fine with that. But I enjoyed myself.
Okay, for me, the best part of the entire film was him running around the Washington Memorial. Is that the setting pool? And he kept on passing the... the black dude?
Yes.
Passing on your left.
Oh, that was passing the first on one.
Oh, was that?
Yeah, that was the first movie.
Oh.
The first Captain America.
Oh, maybe that's what I saw. I don't know.
Well, which one? Yeah,
I thought it was
Winter Soldier.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, what was the one? Civil War was
yeah,
the one.
Yeah, we watched Civil War.
Yeah.
So there's two things that...
Yeah, that was actually...
Passing on the left.
Winter Soldier, like the whole PTSD thing and Captain America, that was brilliant
in
that first film.
Yeah.
That was like amazing writing.
Well, I've actually really liked the Captain America movies. I thought that they've been really, really solid and probably the best written of the Marvel movies so far. The problem with Civil War is, for me, too many characters, not enough done with most of them. I kind of felt like I don't know what Scarlet Witch and Vision were doing there.
I know.
They just kind of felt like awkward and weird, and there was a really interesting sort of plot line they were kind of maybe hinting at, and then they did nothing with, which is kind of bizarre. And it's difficult to do anything with, like, they talk away Thor and the Hulk, because they're like, you know, they've got superpowers. What the fuck do you call Vision? He's like basically a god.
Yeah.
Really? I don't know. I just thought it was kind of lame. The best, the two things that I walked away with after the movie was, I really need to see Ant-Man, because the Ant-Man parts in that movie are fucking awesome.
You haven't seen Ant-Man yet?
I know.
I've seen it like 24 times.
I know, and it's on Netflix. I have no excuses. Oh, I will get to it. I swear. Now I really need
and
to
and you
watch
call
it.
Yourself a Paul Rudd fan.
I know. That's why.
It's wonderful.
It's like I saw best, that and I'm like.
Best product placement in a movie ever.
What was that?
When you get to the Baskin Robbins thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
But the humor in that, the whole, that was, I think that still is my favorite of all of the Marvel.
Hands down.
So, I mean, seeing him in Captain America kind of solidified that I really need to watch that movie, and I'm really kind of excited about it. And I must say, I loved the bits with Spider-Man. Tom Holland is a great Spider-Man. I wasn't sure I needed more Spider-Man.
Actually acting like a teenager.
Kind of dig that a lot.
I was conflicted about that, because honestly, that whole subplot was really enjoyable. And with Marissa Tomei as Aunt May and the whole subtle maybe he's going to hit on her and all of that stuff. I hope that's not a spoiler. But...
It didn't need to be there.
Kill your darlings. If I had to shorten that movie.
Yeah, that would be the first to go.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
That was not core to the story.
No.
And
agreed.
That was one of, yeah.
Agreed. But for me, it was still, considering how like bland the movie was, for me, that was super cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree with you. Well, it could have been cut out.
They needed that little bit of a pause, because the movie, otherwise, they weren't getting it out of the other characters.
No.
Kind of.
Not at all. Not at all. So yeah, I was really underwhelmed. I don't ever need to see it again.
The other one for me that I found like really underwhelming was I saw Jungle Book.
Oh yeah, which I still haven't seen.
And I was, I just was not. It was too long. It needed editing.
No. It's too bad because it looked like the trailer made it look good.
Agreed.
The production quality was really, really good.
Yeah.
And I should have liked the themes more, but all in all, I just found it kind of slow.
No, that's too bad. Yeah, because it did look really amazing. Yeah. Is there any music in that movie at all?
Oh, there is. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, the part of the scenes that I hated the most, that I thought I would hate the most, I was really wasn't sold on Bill Murray as Blue, but he totally redefined the character in a good way.
Yeah.
And that segment of the movie was actually one of the more interesting parts.
Awesome.
Yeah. I didn't come out of there going, God, I want my life back.
Yeah, but it just
It felt a little slow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how kids, the screening I went to didn't have a lot of kids with it. So I didn't have a good feel for how the kids were liking it. Like whether they would be engaged or not. Because I was sitting towards the back and all the kids were at the front. And I couldn't see whether they were fidgeting or not.
Yeah. Walking around back and forth. I saw a bunch of movies.
Hooray.
Nothing really super awesome. A few interesting things. I saw Midnight Special, finally. The Jeff Nichols movie. It's pretty great.
Sweet.
Michael Shannon is awesome. Great cast. Really great movie. Looks fantastic. The themes are really, really great. Feels kind of like a throwback to like family-friendly sci-fi movies of like the 80s. They kind of don't make those anymore. I don't know.
Swiss Family Robinson?
No, not really. But
what was it called again?
Midnight Special.
I'm going to have to look. It isn't the movie I thought it was.
Yeah, no. People kind of compared it to like E.T. and Starman, Close Encounter.
Oh, well, totally not the movie I thought it was.
No. And it just feels like it's... I mean, it's really, really well written and the characters are super interesting. And it's just Jeff Nichols can't make a bad movie. Like, he's just incapable of it at this point. I just assume he can't possibly make a bad movie because none of them have turned out badly. You just can't go wrong with him. He always makes solid films. And the themes are really interesting. The acting is great. He works really well with kids, and the kid in the movie is fantastic.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay, right.
It's really, really good. It's one of my favorite movies so far this year.
We were supposed to go.
Yes, we were, and I had already seen it.
Yes.
So it's really good, highly recommended. I also saw The Invitation, Karen Kusama's new movie. She did Girl Fight and Aeon Flux and Jennifer's Body before taking a bit of a break. From the sounds of it, not because she wanted to. So The Invitation is co-written by her husband and his writing partner, and they'd apparently been working on this for some time. It's really solid. It's kind of like it's a drama with horror sort of peppered throughout, and then it just goes full of batshit at the end. So good. Colleen, you're going to love this movie.
Sweet.
So good. So good. Highly recommended. The Curse of Sleeping Beauty, which is kind of a modern take on Sleeping Beauty. The trailer looks like it kind of has like steampunk overtones. It's actually not really a Sleeping Beauty story. It's more of like of a horror story, like straight up horror with this conceit about this haunted house that has a woman that's under a spell.
All right.
It's really interesting. I really liked it. The performances are solid. The movie has really great style. The director has kind of been meddling in B-movie like lakes for years. And he's always kind of shown that he might be able to step up to something a little bit more. And this is kind of the movie that makes him stand out. And I hope there's more because the story, it kind of ends as it's getting really interesting. Like, there might be more stuff. So I'd like to see a sequel for sure. Approaching the Unknown, which actually opened June 3rd. This is... what's his name? Mark Strong. in a spaceship going to Mars on a one-way mission. He's developed this way of extracting water from soil. And shit goes wrong on the way to Mars. Go figure. They want to turn him around and he doesn't want to go back. So it's super interesting. It's very slow. People are going to hate it if they're looking for like high octane space stuff. This isn't the movie for you. Not at all. But it's really good. Like Mark Strong, like you can really do a lot worse than Mark Strong for 90 minutes.
True.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it's I would
kill for his voice.
Oh, I know, right? And Luke Wilson occasionally. It is Luke Wilson. Yeah. Luke Wilson is the voice at the other end of the radio. He's at NASA. And yeah, he's like, are you okay? What are you doing now? Because he's kind of taken control and like turned off all the connections to Earth. It's really good. Like, I really liked it. Dan thought it was boring as hell. Like, is this almost over? Oh, God. Yeah, I live with that guy. Money Monster.
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Really entertaining. I mean, it's a glossy Hollywood movie made by Jodie Foster. The performances are really good, and it's solidly entertaining. What more could you ask for? Dude, Excellent. It's Julia Roberts and George Clooney in a movie together. How could this possibly go wrong?
Ocean's 12.
How could this possibly go wrong? And I saw Colonia, which I think we talked about on one of the previous shows. It's the... it's the film with Emma Watson and Daniel Brühl where they get kidnapped in Chile into this this cult that was
right.
That was actually a real thing. Okay, so I watched the movie. It's pretty good. Emma Watson cult movies are like a thing apparently because she's made a bunch of them in a row. This place is still like weird as fuck and I need to do more reading. But yeah, it's good. It's like really creepy. Really creepy.
Awesome. Where did you see that?
Netflix.
Netflix?
No, not Netflix. Sorry, iTunes.
iTunes. Okay. Yeah.
So it's kicking around. It's available on VOD. It's solid.
Cool.
Really good performances are really what's
it. Looked interesting. Like yeah. The trailer. Like, it's what's going on?
It's pretty creepy. And to think that like it's based on actual events and shit that happened. And apparently the colony is still there. It's managed by some different people now that say they have nothing to do with the original cult.
Of course not.
Of course not.
As they would.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a YouTube documentary about Schaefer, the guy that was like the head of the thing, which I've bookmarked to watch later. So I'll let you know how that goes.
Cool.
That's it. Oh, I watched X-Men. Did you guys see X-Men yet?
Not yet.
Okay. We'll Probably talk about won't. It later.
So I...
You need to see X-Men.
I finally caught up on Watch the Martian.
Oh, yeah.
And enjoyed it. I also kind of a blast of the past. You were right about Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. That was a real disappointment.
I like the book.
I got really curious about whether or not I'd seen all of the Thin Man movies because they made 5 of them.
Okay.
So I decided I'm going to go back and watch them in order. So this month I saw After the Thin Man, which is the second movie. Not as good as the first, but it was fun seeing James Stewart as a bad guy.
Diminishing returns.
So,
oh.
But I've
only ever seen the first
after
one.
It was released in 1956, so sorry.
By this point, like, we're spoiler free. Okay.
But the Space Master X7, which is on YouTube from 1958, it is so bad.
Oh.
It is so
bad. I really have no interest in seeing that.
But the main...
Sounds awesome.
The main scientist is one of these guys that did all of these cartoon voices. So just seeing a face to like this voice...
A voice that you recognize.
Oh my God,
else.
It's Elmer Thud.
It wasn't him. I wish I could remember the guy's name. Anyway, it was... It actually was only an hour and like 5 minutes or something. So
that's always fun. Yeah.
It was kind of a kick, even though it was... So bad. The other one is I finally saw because I hadn't seen it yet. Ghost in the Shell from 1995.
Oh, excellent!
I wanted to see it before the main movie
the
came
reboot.
Out. So, friend had it on Blu-ray, so we did a Blu-ray good. Night. Yeah, it was not what I expected. Good and bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Yeah, like it was, well, from 1995, I wasn't sure what to expect. It was much kind of moodier and slower than I thought.
All his movies are. It's not my favorite of his. I prefer, Something Blue. I can't remember the first word.
Sakura?
No, no, I can't. It's not going to come to me. I'm not even going to try. But he's made some really, really fantastic movies.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, in the end, I enjoyed it. Yeah,
I really like that one. There's a pair. They did a new one. It's called Ghost in the Shell, the movie. And I have no idea how it connects to the universe.
They've done like four.
Yeah, but this, I think, I've seen some of the sequels, but I haven't really liked any of them. I haven't seen the new one, though I know it's available. Like, I think it just came out because I saw it on the shelf at HMV the other day. And it looks like probably the only one I would probably watch now.
Okay.
I haven't really liked any of the... Yeah, see, I haven't seen any of these. 2.0, what the hell is this?
As we're looking at...
So I just grabbed DVD the stack cases. Of DVDs my friends gave me.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, no, this is just the original.
Ghost in the Shell, Two Innocents, and the Standalone Complex. So those are next on the list.
Yeah, see, so...
Or Standalone Complex, The Laughing Man.
So yeah, like this one, like the original I really like. These I haven't seen, so I can't really comment one way or the other. But the new one looks really interesting. I think it's just called The Ghost in the Shell, the movie. And it just came out. It's out now. But can you look him up, Oshi? Sure. I think it's called Midnight Blue. It's about a singer. It's really, really good. It's probably my favorite of his. And he made a live-action movie, which is also pretty decent. I'm making Dale do all the research because he's got IMDb up.
That's right. Do, 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 do,
do.
Is it Midnight Blue? Is that what it's called?
He directed it. Going back.
Oh, I don't see it there.
No.
My mind is blank.
We'll put it in the show notes, yeah, we'll or talk about it next month. Yeah.
But yeah, so he's made some really good movies, but let's see.
There was a film. It was good. The end.
There was a film. It was really, really good. The end. Skycrawlers is really good too. I wish I could remember what that one was called. Oh, well. But yeah, Ghost in the Shell is really awesome. It's one of my favorites. Avalon was the live action movie that he made, which is actually pretty good. I thought it's like a Russian Japanese co-production. It's really weird. The effects are not great, but I mean, it's really ahead of its time is kind of the thing that I take from it. It's a really interesting film. I would highly recommend it. What else have you seen?
That's it for movies. Pretty much.
That was pretty good. Oh, now you're gonna have to let me know about these ones. I assume V sent lunch of these.
No, actually, Ian.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay. If you're looking for obscure movies, Ian is your man.
Yeah, no, these are... I'm always a fan of Ghost in the Shell. I'll have to let me know if the sequels are worth watching.
Excellent.
Reading? I know you guys have been reading.
I haven't. I read and I go to sleep. About 5 minutes in. Normally, I read for hours. I'm like, I'm nodding out. Yeah. God, it's plumbing's interfering with my normal routines. Okay.
Be like Scotty. Oh, thank you, Captain. I can catch up on my technical manuals.
Okay, so there's Robin Hobb. We've mentioned her many times, kind of thing. She has a new series going on. It's like the Fool series or something like that. And book two was out, and I got it, and I read it. As fast as I could, which wasn't very fast because I keep on falling asleep. But yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I like it. If you like sort of fantasy novels kind of thing, Robin Hobb, can't go wrong. I love her.
When?
Yep. In comic books, there's new Tank Girl series that came out last month. So yeah, subscribe to that right away.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'm reading I bought the new Wonder Woman Volume 1.
Oh, yeah.
Which I haven't actually cracked open yet. Ooh. But I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent.
Kind of awesome. That's been kind of it.
That's it for me for reading.
I wanted to make sure I could finish a book in May.
Did you?
So I picked a nice short one, The We Free Men by Terry Pratchett.
Oh, nice.
Which I read the second book, and I hadn't read the first, so it was nice catching up on the first. It was just good fun, and it was a quick read. And then I started the next book, which is a David Weber book, and he can't write anything under 900 bloody pages. So I think I probably read the equivalent of about two books. But I'm only, you know, like just over halfway through this thing.
Of course. I did start reading Me Before You because I wanted to read it before the movie came out. We're recording this early, so I'll probably get there because I can't seem to put it down. But it's pretty much been the only thing I've been reading lately. That and I'll get to Wonder Woman at some point in the very near future.
Excellent.
That's been about it. It's been really sad. I'm trying, though. I still haven't finished what I started reading last month. Oh, I kind of put it down halfway through. I'll get to it, but...
So I went to the Vancouver Arts Festival, Comic Art Festival, which is where I got a really cool decal of Puppy Kerberos. But yeah, it's like it's really hard for me to go through there. And like I was looking for maybe some, you know, indie different comics to look up, but I have a hard time talking to people at tables and stuff. So I came away without anything except for the stickers, which made me sad.
Oh.
It would be nice to find a good graphics art novel series to
especially
jump back into.
Yeah, especially something sort of like new and undiscovered.
There's a few web comics that I follow that I really enjoy that get put out into books. Actually, one of the ones I follow, the fellow was there, but...
Oh, cool.
He didn't look really friendly, and I was too afraid. I really wanted to buy something from him because I read his webcomic.
Yeah.
But he didn't have anything in kind of the price range I wanted. I wanted to spend. I almost debated, you know, like saying, you know, here's $20. But
yeah.
That didn't feel right either. Although I'm sure, I'm kicking myself now. I should have said hi, but. Man, it's like if you're going to be there, at least, you know, look a little bit welcoming.
Yeah, like at least look like you want to be there. Otherwise, why bother?
Yeah.
And have something in a lower price range.
Well, like, I would have bought,
have to be much.
I would have actually loved to buy some stickers or some
postcards.
Postcards, yeah, like little art things. I just don't. I thought about buying the books, and it isn't that I didn't want to spend that much money. It's just that if I buy the book, it's just going to sit around here and then I'll have to do something later. And
I'm kind of getting to the point now where I'll only buy something if I know I'm going to either reread it or I'm going to planning on lending it to somebody to read.
There you go. I love ebooks.
Yeah. My Kobo is getting lots of love.
Yeah.
Lots of love.
I would recommend the comic Bitch Planet.
Yes.
Are they back?
It comes out so irregularly.
Like, they've done, what, like 5 issues? Have they even?
5 or 6, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just fucking ridiculous.
It's like months between, like, 3-4 months before the next one comes out.
You're almost better off waiting for, like, the compendium volume 1 rather than waiting.
That was, I remember that. I mean, the name is memorable. That was on a recommended list.
Yeah. Holy shit, it is.
It's awesome.
Fantastic, but
I've lost track of it because it's so infrequent.
I don't understand what exactly is going on there.
Because I think that, like, if I remember right from like the last letter that I read, and I don't think I'm fully caught up, so it might have been from issue 4 or 5.
Yeah,
was that they were all working on like different projects.
Yeah,
like, it's taking them longer and longer to put out the issues because they're all busy on like Marvel and DC.
I know what you mean. It's so good.
It sucks that we have to wait that long for new issues. Because that's good shit.
Oh, right shit, man. I'd pay double.
Yeah.
I would pay double without batting an eye.
Yeah, it's solid. I'm more than happy to give them money.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. Really, really good. But I haven't really been reading anything beyond that. And I haven't read one of those, basically, like, I think I'm behind. I don't think I've even read the last issue.
I think I have about 15 different comic books I subscribe to kind of thing, but, yeah.
Tank Girl, that's all I know.
Tank Girl is the one that came out this month that I'm like, yeah, can you put that on my subscription list, please? And whoever the artist is, I forget, it's not Jamie Hewlett, but his style is compatible. Like,
oh,
they've
yeah.
had a so few artists where, like, it's sort of like, this just doesn't feel like Tank Girl.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely not Jamie Hewlett, but it still captures that sort of aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. You guys listen to any podcasts?
No new podcasts for me.
No, but Invisibilia is coming back.
I have that written down.
I was very excited for like the 2-minute preview where they introduce a new player.
I know.
What the fuck?
But they did say it's coming like
June.
Yeah. So
that's exciting.
Our long wait in the like desert is almost over.
It's funny because when I transfer the podcast onto my new player, I'm like, should I just unsubscribe from this? Because are they ever coming back? And then the next week they announce.
I have a few there that like I have like 98 podcasts on my feed. Although admittedly, I only listen to about 40 of them. The rest are
only 40.
Oh, yeah, exactly what I'm thinking.
The rest,
like, really?
Well, they go on hiatus. Thank God they go on hiatus. And then some have ended. Caustic Soda, Vancouver-based one, Torin Atkinson, and the other two guys, I forget at the moment. They've wrapped up. Like,
oh,
they're now
they?
Done. Yeah.
Oh.
And they're moving on to other things and things like that. That's cool. But yeah, Invisibilia is back.
I was pretty excited about that. Yeah.
And Detective Season 2 is back. And they have a different detective this time.
Ooh.
The first one was this like retired detective. He sound like he had smoked like 8 packs of smokes a day for the last 30 years.
I remember you mentioned this podcast. Yeah.
You remember a dead body stench the first time you're there? Like, oh my God. Listen to this guy's voice and all these stories. So they brought it back. It's a new detective this time, and it's going to be awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't added any new podcasts, but I was just excited when Invisibilia
came
back.
Tannis, Black Tapes, I can't rave enough about those two. Love them to death. Yeah. There you go.
I want news, thanks.
Planet Money, Radio Lab.
They've been on hiatus for a while. Fuckers.
Radio Lab?
Yeah.
Yeah. Freakonomics.
That's one I still need to check out.
I used to listen to them and then I stopped. They felt like they were... There was two of them, and then it was mostly the one guy, and it started to get kind of boring.
Maybe it's
come back. I don't know.
There's good episodes, there's bad episodes kind of thing, but like it's reliably listenable. I can listen to it.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I keep on waiting for the Australian podcast, Rum Something in Rat Bags, to come back because they tell all the early history of Australia. It's freaking awesome.
Sounds like a good accent.
Botany Bay. Let's talk about Botany Bay. I can't do an accent to save my life, but it's just going, if the animals didn't kill you, you knew you were... It's awesome. I'm waiting for season 2 with bated breath.
Nice.
Yeah.
No new podcasts for me.
Nope.
All right. Fine then. Be that way. The only other thing I have is, I mentioned in the last podcast, I'll mention it again. I'm painting famous movie and TV carpets. I don't know why, really, but I am.
Something to do.
So I have a list of things from movies, but if anyone actually listened to this and they see a cool carpet at their local cinema, take a picture, send it to me, I'll paint it.
It just occurred to me that you might want to make a T Fury design and submit it. See if you could do it as a T-shirt.
Yeah,
that would be the ultimate trivia.
And you just reminded me of something that I need to talk to you about.
Okay, just into the little panels of all the different famous television.
Why not?
Awesome. Yeah. No. No.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Are we done?
Are
we fading? Okay, your lights are fucking creeping me out.
Oh, that's just the... Okay.
Wow, it's like there's a ghost in here.
No, it's called a faulty electrical.
Where are the Ghostbusters? Come on. We need the ladies here to clear this ghost.
Damn.
That would be great.
That would be awesome.
But no, I have no other media to spew.
Yeah, me either.
I'm all spewed out.
I'm just listening for the song of the summer, man. The song of the summer. I have no idea how I fucking came up with that, but whatever. I saw a post somewhere about the Song of the Summer. Somebody was counting down the probability of the Song of the Summer, so there was like a list of 10 songs. So this is what I've been listening to for like 2 days. I'm like, which is the catchiest of all the earworms?
I see. I'm glad I don't listen to music. I hate music.
I don't listen to the radio.
I hate it all.
I listen to this shit and I'm like, yeah, well, I guess.
I'm just waiting for the Dark as the Hillside Thicket's new album to come out. It'll be probably another year, but
they had
their Kickstarter and they did phenomenally. They doubled what they wanted.
That's excellent.
So it sounds like there's going to be like 4 more tracks. So it's going to be like a extended like a CD or something. It's going to be awesome.
Okay, we were at HMB. We've made it a regular thing. I'm going to plug HMB. Because for a while, HMV was like the place that you went to cry about the dying media. Because it was really sad. It went from being like the place you would go to buy your CDs and DVDs to now being the place that has like a couple of movies, like maybe 6 CDs, and shelves and shelves and shelves of shit. Mugs, robes, t-shirts, books.
Those Funko dolls.
Yeah, it got sad for a while there. And then I discovered that their pricing is awesome. Like, for 3 weeks in a row, I have gone specifically to HMV to buy newly released DVDs because they are cheaper than anywhere else, including Amazon, which is unheard of.
That's awesome.
I bought The Witch for $22 on Blu-ray.
Holy shit.
It was $29 on Amazon.
Excellent.
Like, thank you, HMV. So I've made it a habit of now going into HMV whenever I'm in the mall. And Dan was looking at CDs the other day, and I'm like, if you buy a CD, I think we're going to have to break up. I haven't bought any CDs in like at least a decade. I am not starting now.
I buy Dark as the Hillside Thicket. I support him. I'm getting it.
That is just weird to me. Good. Just weird.
Good, good, good. That's what I do best.
Like, digital download.
We'll get that too. First time I listened to him, my friend forced me to listen to him. I was obsessed by the end of the day at work, and I bought digital downloads of all their albums, and then I bought physical copies on Amazon of all their copies, and I bought their hoodies. I've gone to I've become obsessed.
That is A-okay.
My local Cthulhu cultist band is okay with me.
I like their last album.
My God. Shout out to Tim is awesome.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
It's the only one I listen to with any regularity.
Man, the Mass song?
Nice. It's pretty good.
Blackout?
There's some good stuff on that album. I'm a fan. I like it. Okay, boring, Dale. I'm probably everyone else by this point.
I'm just rambling at this point.
So, come on by row3.com. Check out links to the show, links in the show notes to all the stuff we talked about today. And we will be back in a couple of weeks with the July preview. July.
I know.
July.
Say what?
Qu'est-ce que say?
That's kind of sad. Okay. So, because I forgot. God almighty. Because I forgot. If you are a filmmaker that works in animation and you have a film to submit, Spark Animation is open for submissions. We will link to the submissions page in the show notes. Send us your stuff. We take all kinds of animated projects, feature length, student, commercials, PSAs, whatever you got. And because you're listening to us here, if you have something you want to submit and you don't want to pay for the submission fees, drop me a line. We can hook you up. That is all.
Hooray.
Hooray. So yeah, but come on by row3.com. We will be back in a couple of weeks. Until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.